Welcome to It's Your Community with Vanessa Denha, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome to It's Your Community. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo here with Epiphany Communications and Coaching. Our next guest has been a guest on the show before. She's going to give us an update on the Bonnell Foundation and Cystic Fibrosis. They give emotional and financial support to parents who have had a loved one with cystic fibrosis. Their hope is to one day, no cystic fibrosis parent will ever experience the pain of losing a child to this disease. The purpose of the Bonnell Foundation is to provide tools to navigate the difficulties of living with cystic fibrosis. And to talk with us about that and so much more is Laura Bonnell. Laura, how are you? Welcome back to It's Your Community.
I'm great, doing well. Thank you, Vanessa. It's great to talk to you again.
And thanks for coming on to give us an update. The last time we spoke, you were sharing with us information about your trip to Egypt and Dr. Nasser and educating people and families in the Middle East about cystic fibrosis. So what's been going on since the last time we spoke?
A lot has been going on. I mean, you just keep learning so much more as I become more and more educated on the disparity, you know, between the two countries and when dealing with cystic fibrosis. And as a matter of fact, a family recently came from Egypt. I went and met with them at the University of Michigan. They came here there because they have two children with CF and they just couldn't get the medications there in their own country. And so I went and talked to the mom, and you're right immediately on the same page. You're the parents of two kids with CF, and it happens to be her daughters. And as you know, I have two daughters with CF. So we bonded and connected right away. And it's truly just heartbreaking. So overall, the Bonnell Foundation, we're trying to raise awareness about it, and we're trying to figure out not only why are these discrepancies there, partially it was because it was incorrectly thought of as only a Caucasian disease, and it is not. Mm. Anyone can have, you know, be born with cystic fibrosis. It's a genetic disease. You can be Asian, you can be African American, you can be, you know, Egyptian. It's any ethnicity at all. So we're just trying to raise awareness about that as well.
Laura, how did you become aware of the issue in Egypt and other parts of the Middle East that there was such a lack of understanding and medicine to treat cystic fibrosis? When did you become aware of this issue?
Well, Dr. Nasser was, my girls are adults now, but she was their pediatric pulmonologist at the University of Michigan, and she is from Egypt. And as we became, you know, now I would say we're friends, obviously. It's not like a mom doctor, you know, relationship. We're friends and we're trying to, you know, do the same things. And she told me, you know, she was going to Egypt and saying, I know you have people there with CF, you have to test. And the, you know, they were like, excuse me. They were like, no, we don't have people here with CF. And she's like, you really do. And once they started allowing her to test there, she found out 600 people were diagnosed with CF. And since then, it's now 1,000. And certainly there are more. But it's because everyone's trying to raise awareness that it's not a white disease.
Mm. So what's been going on? You said that, is there a lack of understanding of the disease in the Middle East? I mean, you said they think it's a white person's disease, but is that true in the Middle East? And that's why they don't have the proper medication. I mean, what's the status of treating children there today?
Right. It's true in the Middle East, but it's also true in the United States. Oh. I would say that African-Americans are underdiagnosed, and the Asian community here that, you know, they're Americans, but of Asian descent or of Arabic descent or, you know, whatever it is. It's just the visibility is much better now in the United States. Pediatricians are catching it more in African Americans, but it's only been 5 years since I met someone who was 54, African American, was misdiagnosed for 54 years. So it's still an issue here in the United States. In the Middle East, it's, just because some of them were, you know, are third world countries and medicine in general is difficult, and they have the Ministry of Health that has to approve, you know, the drugs, and the drugs are very expensive. And if you're a third world country and a drug is $330,000 a year,
or, oh my gosh,
or it's $3,000 a month, there is not a chance that that drug will be available to a rare disease community in a third world country or even in a poorer country. So that's the problem. It's trying to get, you know, prices lowered for the drugs. There is so many different things that need to happen, but I think the most important thing is to raise awareness so people are aware of what's going on. In Egypt, they are dying. Their average life expectancy is 8 years old, and it's more than 50 here in the United States, and it's because of medications that are not available in Egypt. And that's why people who have the means, the financial means, are coming to the U.S., paying thousands of dollars for the medications and then going back home. But there are only a handful of people who can do that.
You know, when you were raising your children, was misdiagnosis a major issue back then too? I mean, I know they're adult girl women today, but when they were little babies and young girls, was that an issue, Laura, for you?
Yes, we diagnosed Molly and then Emily. I mean, Molly was born first, and once we knew, then we knew how to test Emily. But yeah, there wasn't newborn screening at the time. That started here in 2007, I believe, for cystic fibrosis. And my girls were born in 1994 and 1997. So we actually, it was through education, we saw a public service announcement on TV, and it was kiss your baby if they taste salty. And we thought, we knew there were many other symptoms with Molly, and we diagnosed her with CF and then had her, you know, talk to the pediatrician who did not believe she had CF. And the pediatrician, who I'm friends with to this day, but at the time she's like, she doesn't have CF. You're an overworried first time mom. Go back to work. And I was like, I don't know. I keep reading and she's got every symptom. Anyways, and then she was tested. And I do know of other people who had children around that time that were also misdiagnosed. And the problem even now with newborn screening is that there are 60 mutations that are in the newborn screening test. And those, not surprisingly, are mainly Caucasian mutations. So there are over 2,000 different CF mutations. But if you're, you know, if you're, you know, part Thai, or you're of Asian descent, or you're African American, or you're, you know, Arab, you know, from Egypt or something, or Hispanic, you might be missed in that test. So you really have to watch the symptoms, but then there's a language barrier. I've interviewed and talked to families who are Hispanic and are, you know, live in this country, and America is their home, but the language barrier, that's why we started the CF Familia page on our website, so that they could get correct information, because they were reading really scary information from their native land that was incorrect. Wow. So it's so many different things. And that's kind of why we're trying to raise awareness. And my foundation gives funds to people here in America who, you know, you can get buried by co-pays, or you need a lung transplant. And that's still not fully covered in the United States. So we have so much more access to funds that are needed, like foundations like mine that can give out to people in the US. But if you have CF in another country, it's much harder. Mm-hmm. And so I just keep saying, where you live shouldn't matter if you live. We should all have the same right.
That's a great quote, Laura. You've really got your reporter hat on shining through here. I mean, you talk about interviewing people, investigating, doing your research. Great quote. where you live shouldn't matter if you live. We're talking about Laura Bonnell from the Bonnell Foundation. Laura, a former reporter right here on our own station for years here, and now heading the Bonnell Foundation. Laura, can you explain to our listeners exactly what is cystic fibrosis? And tell us about, in terms of doing the research for your own girls, how that's helped you help other people.
Sure. It's a genetic disease that causes chronic and fatal lung infections and interferes with digestion. And it does impact every organ of the body. So you can have diabetes because of this thick, sticky mucus that builds up in the body. And you can't just digest food. So you have to take enzymes, and it impacts your lungs. Probably people are most familiar with that. And many people need lung transplants, but then that's a whole nother thing, because then you have medicines and you could, you know, die getting the transplant. But it does affect your liver. It affects absolutely everything about you. And I think once I started the foundation, in answering your second question, it was definitely therapy for me. I felt like meeting and talking to all these parents that we could totally connect and understood one another, and how can we do better, and how can we educate, and how can we help? And that's pretty much where we all are. I just talked to Dr. Kamala Porn, who is a doctor in Thailand. She studied at SickKids in Canada. She has 12 cystic fibrosis patients in Thailand, and there are 30 total. They have some meds, but not a lot. It's the same situation. If you can afford it, those 30 patients, like one of the 30 is, and it's because the husband's American and the wife is Thai, but they come to America and they get the help they need and the medications because they can afford to, and then they go back to Thailand. So it's just, the more I learn, it's so sad. I do feel like screaming, like, does anyone know what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, this is so not right, but yeah.
Well, you're doing a fabulous job being a voice for all those people who need your voice, who are voiceless and don't have the means to speak out and do the research you're doing. Laura, you talked about the different mutations. So with the different mutations, does that mean each person may get affected by the disease differently? I know you explained what it is, but is the mutation affect how it affects their body?
It can. And I am obviously not a doctor, not a scientist, but it's interesting because I really am not sure how it works. And by that, I mean, my daughters have Delta F508, which was one of the most common. It's not common in Thailand, though. It's not as common elsewhere. So they have Delta F508, and then they have a recessive gene that's a bunch of numbers and too long, doesn't matter for me to repeat. But one of my daughters is sicker than the other. So do they matter? Do they not matter? I'm not sure. I mean, that's all I'm trying to say is, yes, I think some people are sicker. Some need a transplant. Is it just the mutation? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not educated enough to answer that question.
No, it's okay. No, but that's why the research is so important and talking to your physician is so important.
Right, exactly. But it is interesting, and it does matter if you can take like certain medications that could fix the underlying condition of CF. It's not a cure, but like that drug worked for one of my girls, and then one had a reaction. So it just really depends on your child. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You brought this up the last time we spoke. We actually did an interview around COVID time, and you know, I just want people to be cognizant of when you're sick, whether it be the flu or COVID or just a cold, to be cognizant and respectful of other people in the world, because you don't know. They may look normal, you know, look quote unquote healthy, but they're dealing with things like cystic fibrosis, and you being sick around those people is not helpful. So I just want you to kind of reiterate of being respectful of people who are, you know, their immune systems are, you know, it can be easily affected by your even common cold.
Exactly. And that's why I was like, if anything, as horrible as, you know, the pandemic was and COVID still is, I was so hopeful that it really got people to understand how germs are spread and how important the mask was, even though it's not fun. Who wants to wear one? But yes, if somebody with cystic fibrosis, if you give them a cold, they can get pneumonia. Like it goes There's not, yeah. It's like a switch. It's not like you're going to get a cold and be fine. You're usually going to get a cold. You're going to get pneumonia, and then you're going to be on meds, and you might need, a PICC line. And then if you've had a transplant, I mean, for any kind of transplant patient, they have to be so careful. And some people who've had a transplant can't even get vaccinated for COVID because it doesn't work because of their transplant. So there's just so much. It's really important to think about people. And now the flu, so yeah, great point, Vanessa. It's really important to remember that.
So I have a pet peeve, Laura, of people assuming they know like other people's journey. And I'll just give you an example. I don't know if I shared with you last time, but it always sticks in my crawl. I had couple times it's happened to me where a family member and then a friend were parking in handicapped parking, and one of them got really badly yelled at. She was an adult, but little do they know she has a serious heart condition and can't walk far. She struggles walking from like a her car to a front door of a building. You know what I mean? That's how much she struggles. And people make these assumptions about other people, Right. That happened to me one time. I was babysitting my neighbor kids and I parked in a handicap. I was using my neighbor's car because she had a handicap license plate. And the lady, before I could even get fully out of the car, a lady starts screaming at me, not even knowing what's going on. And I totally ignored her, walked to the other side of the car and helped my neighbor child out. And when she saw that, she's like, shut her mouth. People just need to be respectful, and I say that because I see that people make these assumptions about other people and they're not cognizant or caring that other people have other stuff going on, and I just think that's I love when you made that point during COVID, let's be cognizant of other people. Laura, how can people get involved in the Bonnell Foundation? What can they do? I know you raise money and awareness. How can people listening help you with your mission?
Yeah. And we always need volunteers too, but they can go to the bonnellfoundation.org, and Bonnell is B as in boy, O-N-N-E-L-L, but the bonnellfoundation.org or the bonnellfoundation@gmail.com is how they can email us. So either one would be great.
So we're talking with Laura Bonnell from the Bonnell Foundation. What are your plans? Are you going back to the Middle East, Egypt, Turkey? Like what, I know you're in constant conversations with people in the Middle East, but what are your next steps?
And I was just on a Zoom call with some people and doctors in Turkey and in Egypt before this interview. And so we're talking about, I think the most important thing is we all agree is education to raise awareness. So we're trying to raise awareness. We're trying to talk to drug companies to get them to understand prices need to be lowered in these countries. And I think that's the biggest thing, but education, and the more you raise awareness in even countries that have a dictatorship, they don't like when it's like, why are people dying in such and such an area? It doesn't make them look good, right?
So
it's just important to raise awareness so that, the powers that be, we'll see that it's a better thing. It'll make them look better also if they take care of this issue.
Yeah. Cause it's not going to magically go away.
Not going to go away. No.
Yeah. We're talking with Laura Bonnell. Laura, what, in terms of research, I know you're not a doctor, you're not a scientist, but are you hopeful with the advancements of medicine for cystic fibrosis? Are you hopeful for what you've seen over the years with your own daughters?
I am finally hopeful. I just thought might not see any medications that will help my children. I always thought to keep myself sane that I had to say it's not going to happen in my girl's lifetime, but it will happen. But now I feel like it's going to happen in their lifetime. And with this Trikafta drug that came out, it changes the underlying condition. It's like I said, it's not a cure, but it's made such a huge difference in my daughter who can take the drug, and for so many people who are able to take the drug. And Vertex, who makes this drug Trikafta, is working on another drug. And there are other pharmaceuticals that are working on some inhaled antibiotics as well. So there is definitely absolutely hope. And then for the the third world countries that we're talking about, I see more hope for them as well. It's just so hard to go talk to these parents who think you live in America, you have all the answers. And I've told them, we don't have all the answers. And I give them the example, this drug that you want for your kid. And of course, it's easy to say coming from America. And I said, but it works for one daughter and it doesn't work for the other. And then what if you come to America and you find out it doesn't even help your child's mutation? So you kind of have to, you know, work with your team but we're all trying to get there where everybody can have the same kind of care.
Yeah. How are your daughters today in them dealing with cystic fibrosis on a daily basis? Can you share a little bit with us? And
sure. They're doing great. Molly's 28, which is unbelievable and fabulous. She's living in England. She is, you know, trying to change the world there. She's heavy into sustainable futures. And she works for a nonprofit getting actually artwork into mental institutions in the UK. And that's wonderful. And she's done a project with Mercedes to show them how you can be sustainable. And she recycled a bunch of material from their Formula One cars and repurposed all of that. So she's doing that. And then Emily lives in Chicago, and she is 25, and she is working for an influencer and does marketing. And she also does some other nonprofit things as well. So they're both very busy, successful health-wise. They're both doing great right now. So that, of course, is all I want.
Amen to that. Laura Bonnell from the Bonnell Foundation is who we're talking to here on It's Your Community. You can get involved with her mission. Do you have any, I know he asked you to the website, but do you have any upcoming fundraisers this year in 2023?
Yes, we're having an education day in May, and then we have our biggest fundraiser in September. We do a celebrity softball game. I think we're going to do again. It was, you know, obviously because of the pandemic, it wasn't safe to do, but I think we're going to do that again. And then we do a lot of things, you know, in February and March for Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day. So yeah, we always have something going on. And we also have a program where we give, are starting it up this year, actually baskets to families. You know, when you're stuck in the hospital, doesn't matter if you have CF or not, you need things like, I forgot my toothbrush, or I forgot,
good point.
Or you're in there for a while, maybe you want to use some nail polish, or maybe men, you know, dads who are in there, they forgot their deodorant, like just stuff like that. So we're trying to get that project going this year as well.
You know, Laura, that I had, you put a smile on my face because my dad passed away 21 years ago. And I remember when he was dying, he had cancer, and he asked us to bring his cologne, and he's like, I just want to smell good. I just want to smell good. Okay. And it was like, it just put a smile on my face because we don't think about those things. And we're like, Dad, why do you want your cologne? He goes, I just want to smell good. And I'm like, aw, you know what I mean?
I know.
He was dying, you know, he knew he was dying, and it was just, he was in hospice at that time. So that's so sweet, Laura. I love that you shared that with us. What else do you want to share with our listeners here on It's Your Community before we let you go?
I just want to thank people. I think our community, thanks to the awareness that you have helped put out there, Vanessa, people are very supportive. I think it's really important that we raise the status of nonprofits also. I mean, reporting was fabulous for me, but for me, this is where I was meant to be. This was definitely my purpose. And I know some people are like, oh, well, don't you want to get back into radio or TV? Like, it's better. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I don't have the status of nonprofit, and it's not an ego thing at all that I'm saying. I'm just saying, I think people are doing so much good work in nonprofits, whether it's the Red Cross or whatever it is. And
I agree.
I just feel like we just need to raise that up a little bit more all over the country, because those people are changing the world, you know?
Yeah, it's all for the greater good.
Right.
Laura Bonnell, thank you so much for joining us from the Bonnell Foundation.
Thank you. Thanks for getting the word out and always being supportive of cystic fibrosis and making a difference, because without you, it just, the word just wouldn't be out there. So I really appreciate all of your help.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to have you on. Any questions or comments or topics you want me to get to, Vanessa Denha, you can easily reach me at Epiphany Communications and Coaching or find me on any of my social media platforms. You can private message me on LinkedIn, on Epiphany Communications and Coaching on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Always looking for good guests and great topics and people like Laura who are making a difference in the world. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, we remind you to connect, communicate, and to collaborate with your community. We'll catch you next time right here on It's Your Community.
It's Your Community, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.